Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show Lady Boss knows what women want: to be free to speak their voice, to live in financial freedom, and build businesses that radiate wealth, leaving legacies we can be proud of. Every Friday, we bring you Lady Boss entrepreneurs that are changing the world. Diane Solano, the energy entrepreneur. Dana Terrio, handle the lump, heal your life. And Joan Sharp, changing the conversation from money to vision. See you Fridays. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm here with Lady Boss entrepreneur Joan Sharp, and we're going to have a beautiful conversation today about how to change our conversation from money to vision. Joan brought a very special guest with her today that she's going to introduce here in just a little bit. And you're going to hear how our guest, whose family had a conversation, whose family used to have a conversation around money, and how they changed that conversation from money to vision. That's what we're going to talk about, because this is what my co-host teaches us. She teaches us on how to shift the conversation. When our guest, her and her parents, when they passed away, there was a better way for her to be in the family that changed the conversation from money to vision. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So what happens when there's only the desire to talk money? You know, because a lot of times in our conversations, that's how the conversation begins. It's always just about the money, and we want to change it from money to vision. So my co-host, Joan Sharp of River Family Advisors. She's not just an advisor, she's a thought leader in the area of changing your money mindset. Joan encourages us to change the difficult conversations we have that are all about money to a pleasant conversation about a shared vision that will better support your values, your life experiences, your legacy, and your wealth. Welcome, Joan.
Hi, Cornelia. It's great to be here and have my guest, Cindy. But quickly, before I do that, I want to acknowledge today is June 12th, 2020. And as we have been talking, Cornelia, about all the changes in the pandemic and people with family and everything, we have had some enlightenments through this. But there has been some tremendous things that have happened over the past couple of weeks since our last show. And I just want to recognize that Black Lives Matter and how we are in the community with our families and equity of everyone around us, and recognizing our implicit bias as we work through this, changing that conversation from money to vision. And I just want to recognize that. And then I'm now going to introduce our guest, Cindy Ulrich, who is a four-time number one best-selling author, second-generation real estate investor, and leader in legacy planning industry. She has a passion around legacy planning becoming a standardized and recognized industry because she knows the pain of broken relationships and wealth lost that comes from transferring wealth without a legacy plan. Following her parents' death, 8 months apart, she became an expert in the field to help families avoid the tragedy that her family experienced. In addition to receiving her bachelor's and master's in business, Cindy has completed numerous certification programs in coaching and communication. She combines real-world experience with the latest brain science to create common-sense approaches that provides fast results. Now, you know, that's one reason I love her, is about the common sense, along with the brain science. Cindy, thank you for joining us. And you have an amazing story about your father teaching you about business, not talking about the business of the family. Can you please explain to our listeners your story?
Well, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge Cornelia for creating this platform where we can have these kind of conversations. And Joan, thank you for having me on today. And, you know, our story, I've really been putting a lot of thought into, you know, what happened to us as a family and how I feel like in some respects it's fairly common. You know, my parents were depression era children. And my dad came from a broken family during the Depression, and his sister passed away when he was only 10 years old. And he became a breadwinner at the age of 13. And when he was in his mid-30s, both of his parents passed away. And ironically, because of their level of income that they had created in their lifetime, they actually had to live together at the end of their lives, not liking each other. They were still divorced, but because they didn't have enough money, they had to live together. And I think that that changed my dad to say, I don't want to die poor. And I think he felt like money gave you choices. So when him and my mom got married, I found their tax returns. They, in 10 years, had four children and was making $4,000 a year in 1959, trying to raise four children. And my mother had really serious health issues that when you look at their tax return, they were spending like $1,000 of that, you know, money on health issues. So I think when his parents passed away in the 30s, it really like, no, I don't want this for my family. And by the time he ended up passing away, he was making $750,000 a year. And so I think for him, the conversation about money was his interpretation of the gift that he was leaving for us.
That's a good point, because he didn't want to leave you the way he was left.
Exactly. And in his defense, there was no one available to teach him about having a conversation about vision. It was the mid-90s, you know, and he finally, him and my mom redid their will, and there was attorneys advising him. And their advice was to create trusts and tie things up legally. And so I felt like with the level of information he had available to him, that he made the best choices that he could.
Right. Well, and I'm going to kind of step back. His vision for you was actually to have security and a home. But all he knew was the story of money because of the way society was and the way he saw, because we never verbalized the vision. What if he had said that to you?
Well, it's ironic that you asked me that question, Joan, because I was trying to have those conversations with him, not knowing that that was even a thing. You know, he was making so much money and his life was in such a great spot. He said, Cindy, what do I do with all this money? And I was like, Dad, spend it on your family. Mm-hmm. Spend it on us. Use it to develop us. And he's like, well, that doesn't make me money. Well, you know, he knew that if you fast forward 10 years later, the majority of the wealth that my mom and dad created is already gone because we didn't have the conversation.
So what happened when your parents died within 8 months? I mean,
yeah, in addition to the severe grief and loss that you're going through, right? And my dad's business was basically real estate investment companies. And he had followed all the advice of the attorneys. He'd set up 5 family limited partnerships. But because of some, you know, there was just some real issues in our family that Dad felt like he needed to control the money for some of his children by setting up trust and making other people the trustees for that trust. And what he thought he was doing them a favor actually ended up causing family conflict. And, you know, I'll just be, you know, transparent. I was made trustee of my brother's trusts and my niece and nephew's trusts. And my brother resented that. And likely as well he should, right? And go ahead.
Was he made aware that that was going to happen? Or what did he find out when your father passed away?
You know, that's a really good question, Joan. I don't know what my brother knew. And Dad even had taken it so far and written 2 of my brothers out of his will. That's how mad he was at them. So, and then my mother was an Alzheimer's patient and she couldn't change her will. So we ended up with these 2 estate plans that were totally incongruent with each other. I do know that my brother knew that my dad had written him out of his will, but I don't think that he knew that I was the trustee. I don't know. It was just a mess. It was truly a mess.
How did your dad feel this legacy was going to be carried on then? I mean, it sounds like he was trying to control it and felt like he had set it up so you now would be him.
Only on half of it. He made my other brother the trustee of the other brother.
Oh. And did you guys have good communication? I mean, it was just about the money. There was no vision on where or how he expected the family or the businesses to work together.
Yeah, I don't think he really thought it through, honestly. It was interesting, though, because he did try to warn me. You know, before he passed away, he said, I know I'm leaving you a big tax bill. And I know that I haven't followed all the advice that's been given to me. So I know I've got a problem for you. And good luck with your brother.
That's funny. There's something that I'm missing. So because your dad was making $750,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And then after 8 months, then he wasn't, he was out of money.
And I'm sorry, Cornelia. So what happened? He ended up amassing a $10 million estate.
Oh.
That was totally paid for.
Oh.
And the year that he passed away, and because of the way he had set up his estate, we got to write a check for $1.8 million that was due 9 months after my mom passed away. And so he knew that there'd be a big tax bill. And he warned me, he said, you know, I know that you're going to owe this money. But before he died and before everything went down, it was like, well, Dad, it's your money. And if you want to pay the government, you know, who am I to question your, it's your money. You get the right to decide what you want to do. What I failed to take into account is that I was going to have to co-sign the check.
Oh.
And I had to make sure that the money was there. And we didn't really know how much it was going to be. And I have to tell you, my hand shook.
Oh.
I had to write a check for $1.8 million.
That's insane.
And he didn't have that much cash when he died because all of our assets were tied up into real estate. So it was really interesting.
You must have had your big girl pants on that day.
I did. And I have three older brothers. And what's interesting about family dynamics in, you know, situations like this, we kind of go back to our childhood pecking order. Mm-hmm. So I was the little sister. Oh. I didn't know anything. They'd all changed my diaper, even though I have a master's degree and I worked with my dad. And I was with him when he bought the real estate. I'm a licensed real estate broker. And none of that mattered. They saw me as the little sister.
So is this where the fallout really happened? Because there was no communication on how you would pay this tax bill, what the vision of what properties were important, and how that was going to handle to come up with the cash to pay this.
That was part of it, but it was interesting. So my mother was an Alzheimer's victim and my dad passed away from lung cancer. And he died very quickly. He was diagnosed in November and he passed away the day after his birthday in March.
Wow.
So when he was diagnosed, he went really quickly. And then with an Alzheimer's, you know, patient, you never know how long that they are going to last. But I really think that they were soul partners. And so mother knew he was gone. And I think that, you know, her soul was ready to go. And so 8 months to the very day that he passed, she passed. And the problem started, Joan, even before my father passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was co-executor with an older brother. Obviously, they're all older. And because of the family dynamics, that brother wanted to control access to the other brothers that were on the outs with my dad. And I felt like they should have a chance to say goodbye and have a chance to mend that relationship while my father was alive. And that's mm-hmm. where the lack of vision, that's where it really started tearing apart.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you sharing all of this. This is, I think, an important piece for a lot of people that, you know, have this kind of legacy inheritance and, you know, where the family dynamics play out. I'm curious, is your family, the dynamics today, are they healed? Is everybody okay? How is everyone?
Well, and thank you for asking. And, you know, the challenge of sharing your story while everyone is alive is that it's not my intention to make anybody wrong or right. We were all doing the best we could with the situation of where we are. So I'm very, my goal is always to only share what I would want shared about me, because I don't feel like they were wrong. They were just doing the best that they could in the situation. But to answer your question, Cornelia, the one brother that I had the emotional biggest problems with, I actually have healed that relationship, and we have a relationship that we enjoy now. And then another brother that when I was growing up, he was my favorite brother. He doesn't want to speak to me, and I've had to learn that it's okay to love someone who doesn't love you back.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
It just was such a great opportunity to learn that. I mean, I send him love and I wish him well. And I'm sorry that, you know, he is in a place that he's unforgiving, but I've done all I can. And then I have another brother that we actually become so much closer than we ever were previous to any of this happening.
So now you have your own children. And you have felt this conversation needed to change because you started writing books and doing other things and educating yourself. So since you were in the weeds of this, what did you do to start changing that conversation?
Well, that's a great question, Joan. And the reason that I wrote the books is because I know I'm like a reform smoker. You know what I mean? Except that this is such a taboo topic. We don't talk about death. We don't talk about aging. We don't talk about money. And I wanted to turn my mess into a message for other people, because this is like a non-do-over thing, right? I mean, once the parent passes or the grandparent, and this situation doesn't even have to be a parent or a grandparent. I will, you know, tell you, in my husband's family, everything went fine when his parents passed away, but when his aunt passed, that tore the family apart. So Joan, what I started doing is I started researching, and when I started finding the facts that 9 out of 10 families can't transfer wealth past the third generation, I was struck by those statistics. Number one, 9 out of 10 fail, but who are those one percenters and what do they do differently? And so I started the rest of my life research on this whole topic of death and money and aging, and discovered, Joan, that the key is really preparing your heirs, having that vision, and, building up communication and trust while you're alive. So once I found out how to fix it, because my parents didn't have enough money, and I didn't either, because if you take $10 million and split it actually 5 ways, because my parents set up a trust for the grandkids only, I didn't qualify for the family and office industry that provides these services. We're not even close to being able to qualify for the industry that provides this level of training. So I just did it myself, Joan, and I utilized the best practices, but I also took everything that I know about brain science and entrepreneurship and like, what is the outcome? What's the fastest way to the outcome, and applied it to our family and then started helping other families.
Well, and so what have you started doing with your kids? Because what we're hearing, what I'm going to say, when you are living your legacy every day. And what you do and how you show up in those conversations is every day. So, I know you mentioned you went back and looking at your dad's tax returns, and you started putting stories together based on what you were seeing in that, so that you could create a deeper legacy of your father and understanding things he did and decisions he made from what you were seeing. But what are you doing to verbalize so your children and grandchildren know?
Well, and that's such a great question because, you know, our vision, we don't want our vision to die when we die, right? And I don't know, Cornelia, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Camino de Santiago in Spain.
Yes, I have.
So 5 years ago, I walked 500 miles across Spain and completed the Camino de Santiago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And it was a life-changing event. I mean, it changed everything. And that was my first book that I wrote about that. And the reason that I bring it up, Joan, is because my kids know I walk the Camino and I put my experience in a book. So now anybody can read about my experience. And yet there's so many documents and so many just things that aren't captured in written word, or, you know, used to, we would tell these stories verbally, right? And now I think we kind of have gone to written word. And then also I think video, you know, video is so important to be able to see somebody while they're alive and speaking it. So Joan, one of the things that we've put together for families is a system to capture important stories, important documents. And I've kind of turned in my mom, our genealogy. I inherited her genealogy project, and I pray that I live long enough to get it finished. But it's like, you know, a well, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But just capturing that information in written and verbal written and video format for future generations.
I think that's so important. I actually feel like that is what true legacy is, right? That's the piece. I mean, not just the financial piece, but really the creation, the co-creation of your legacy, of your consciousness, of your actions, of your deeds that are benefiting your children, your children's children, the ancestors, from behind and ahead. You know, it's really the whole thing that you're putting all of your, you know, experience into platforms, in ways where people can read and where people can, you know, learn from, which I think is a brilliant way to honor and acknowledge your life.
Well, and thank you for that. And what we're really excited about is that we're actually multi-generationally creating a new vision for our family. Wow. So our family is 7 years into our legacy plan. And every year, except for this year, because of the situation that we're in, we take the entire family on a vacation together to spend that week together. And it was, you know, typically from the second Saturday to the third Saturday in June, so that anybody who's working or changing jobs, they can go to their new boss and say, this is our legacy week. Because we know how wonderful the holidays are for trying to have serious conversations, right? So we just establish our own legacy week. And we talk about topics and we have agendas, and all generations participate and we capture these. And I must admit, from this last year, I'm going to start putting those together in a book, year by year, capturing memories. We also have, except again for COVID, monthly meetings where we talk about topics and we capture these agendas and these ideas, and really as an entire family exploring who are we now and where do we want to go.
Have you found, because you're having these conversations now, the initial legacy you had in mind that you would leave and how it would be has been able to grow and evolve beyond your initial vision because you have shared it and lived it every day?
Yes. And I feel like by bringing in the children while I was alive, they've actually made it better than I ever could have. And I'll give you an example. You know, my dad trained me how to do real estate, and being the depression heir, you know, just get it done kind of guy, I learned how to deal with things. Like if there's a problem, just deal with it, right? Don't question it, just take care of it. And when we brought our daughter into the real estate business, she looked at our portfolio of real estate and said, why? This is terrible. You co-own a piece of real estate with a brother that won't speak to you. You co-own real estate with your dad's ex-business partner's children that you haven't seen in 30 years. You co-own a piece of, I mean, you own a piece of real estate in South Dallas that's too dangerous. You won't even let me drive there. So seeing things through her eyes transformed everything. And we've been 7 years cleaning out our real estate portfolio in something that they can easily take forward to the future generations.
Wow.
I know.
Imagine if she had gotten that.
Oh. And,
Mom, you're not the person I thought you were. Right?
Why did you leave me such a mess?
Right. And now you get to work together and create together a legacy and a memory.
And not only that, but we've even taken it a step forward. We've found conscious capitalism, and we find our companies as conscious capital companies. And because we're creating a company that they want to take forward to future generations, we've assigned a purpose for our real estate company of being a real estate incubator for other entrepreneurs and finding real estate, renting it to them, and then allowing them to purchase the property, then finding other real estate, finding a new tenant. So it's expanding into other families, this idea of consciousness and vision. Joan, just it's vision. Yeah.
And I'm going to say that is what made your riverbed of life with your family and community deeper than it would have been had you left that initial thought or vision, you know, portfolio to your daughter.
Right.
Yeah, and you've literally transformed the whole operation. I want to be part of your family. I mean, my God, it's like this. I have never heard of anything like this before. Never have I heard of what you're doing with your family. It's got to be so fun and exciting to work with a team, to work with a team of people, and you guys are all focused on the same vision, focused on the goals together, and you guys are strengthening the unit together and how it's rippling out and helping. I've never heard of anything like this. I'm so excited you're sharing this with us. And Joan, thank you so much for bringing Cindy on today. What a fantastic conversation. I don't even know. I have all these things that are, all these questions that are like going through me, and I'm like, oh my God, but we have to take a break. So we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll carry on. Okay.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
For stimulating conversation and keys that will change your life, tune in to Dynamic Destiny with Coach Pete every first and third Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Pete to get clarity for your calling and practical wisdom for results. For more about Coach Pete, visit PeteCoaching.com. That's P-E-T-E Coaching.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Break your snooze button habits for good with the Soul Stretching Sisters on the I Am Power Hour with me, Terry J. Walker.
And me, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories.
Aspire higher.
And live a whole lot larger.
To help you unleash your powered up,
pumped up, I Am Soul Stretching Success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back, everyone. During the break, Joan was asking Cindy the perfect question about her children. And Joan, would you like to formulate that question again? Because that was awesome.
So what are the challenges you're facing with this new vision and conversation you have started? When you started?
Yeah, now, Joan, thank you for asking, because I don't want anybody to think that this is easy by any means. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about death, we're still talking about aging, and we're still talking about money. Mm-hmm. And so we're 7 years into our legacy plan. And in August of last year, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 appendix cancer. And he's got a cancer that only 10 people out of a million even get. And he was absolutely having no symptoms. We went in for a normal colonoscopy. And they said they were going to order a CT scan. And then, you know, from there, he's had surgery and 12 rounds of chemo. And when he first had his first surgery to remove the tumor, and we needed to have a second surgery to have the port put in, we realized that we had been putting off some things and avoiding some things that we had talked about but not ever legally dealt with. And that was during the 7 years, it's become evident that we're a blended family and that the blend did not need to continue if something were to happen to Gerald or I. And so we redid his will between the time he had his first surgery and his second surgery, which was in 2 weeks. And what we discovered, and again, there's no right or wrong to this, but it's just evident that his daughter did not or would not want to be a part of a real estate consortium with her stepsisters. So we actually purchased her shares of the real estate and gave her inheritance that she had inherited from my parents now. And so now we can continue to be a family. We continue to have a vision, but they aren't tied together for generations. And so that was a really hard time of having those conversations and acknowledging the truth that it did not serve anybody to try to continue to make that blend happen.
So you honored their individualism, mm-hmm. and their own visions of their life and tying it in the vision you've had, right? So am I correct in hearing this? It's really, yes, it involves money, but what you did is the money was the surface. It was allowing each person to be who they are and express their vision without any criticism.
Right, right. And to allow them to experience their vision for their life and right. basically kind of set them free. Right? And give them permission to be who they're going to be without saying you're right or wrong.
How did that feel? I mean, my shoulders dropped hearing you say that, you know, it's like the stress. I mean, how did that feel?
Well, when it was done, it felt great, but getting there can be difficult mm-hmm. because there's an initial, oh my gosh, you know, this vision that I created for these girls, 15 years ago isn't working, right? Because after my parents passed away, Gerald and I had to redo our estate plan, and we did this elaborate estate plan where we tied our three girls together for generation after generation after generation. And if one didn't have kids, their share went to the other girls. I mean, it was just, they were always going to be tied together. And that was our dream, right? Because I kind of inherited that from my dad to create a monetary advantage for future generations, right? But in the 7 years when we really started our legacy planning in earnest, it was like, man, this isn't working. And to acknowledge, it felt like a loss at the beginning to acknowledge that our vision wasn't their vision. And that's what, you know, when I help other families, we make sure that there is a shared vision to the next generation, because they're the ones that have to carry it on. And we would actually have created a burden for them. And now everybody's free to enjoy each other. And by the way, I have to let you know that my husband's doing great.
Good, because I was happy.
Yeah, he made it through 12 rounds of chemo. And now he's staying healthy in a pandemic.
Good. And go ahead.
Well, we're just so blessed.
Yeah.
We're so blessed.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that your husband is doing well. That was one of my questions. So you answered it without me asking. And then your daughter, the one that received her inheritance now, right?
It's my husband's daughter.
Your husband's daughter. How did she respond to the decision that you all made after a while? Because like you said, it was hard. You also had to look at your own belief systems, what was before and what you're doing now. And so there was a lot of emotional attachment that had to be let go and all these things. And then, so how did your daughter or your husband's daughter, you know, how did she respond to that?
Well, actually, we didn't make the decision. We let her make the decision.
Oh.
We said, what do you want? This is what we see. And this is an alternative that we can provide you. And she made the decision.
So she made the decision. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, Cindy, I mean, this is opening up and living what you wanted, right? The vision you really had from when your father was wanting everyone to be an individual and have conversations and actually have relationships after you're gone, right? That aren't tied by money and stuff, but actual human relationship. So we've talked about before, but can you talk about what do you see the difference between legacy versus inheritance?
Oh, that I love this idea, because when we were setting up our first meeting for our children, so imagine that we're 15 years in the past, right? Really 13 years, because it took 2 years to settle my parents' estate. And the girls were in their early 20s. They were now beneficiaries of a trust. They had no idea what that meant. And this is before I even had found like legacy planning and how to have vision. I was just still operating on intuition. My husband and I, we hired professionals to do a one-day seminar. We hired the attorney to explain what trusts are and beneficiaries so that the girls could understand. We hired a CPA to have them explain what the tax consequences of getting income from a trust that doesn't have Social Security and withholding taken from it. We hired a life coach to talk to them about their vision, what they wanted to do with their life, and how they could take this gift from their grandparents and move on. And then Gerald and I did our presentation about what we wanted for the girls. And in the process of preparing for that seminar, I looked up legacy and I looked up inheritance, and I was shocked. Legacy is from the eyes of the person who's leaving it. Inheritance is from the eyes who's receiving it.
Huh.
And those are two very different perspectives.
Right. Wow. So, you mentioned that you have your family meeting, the annual family week, and you go over the family vision. Do you have each person also say what their vision is for the year, the upcoming year, and then have a joint family vision so that now their inheritance is actually part of your legacy, since you're bringing their eyes, the inheritance eyes, along with your legacy, that actually now they're blended versus so separate?
Well, that's a great question. What's interesting is all of them are so different, right? We've got introverts, extroverts, we just have a plethora of personalities. Mm-hmm. And I share what I do with the kids to set my vision, but some of them don't like it. And so they all have their own system for creating their own vision. Right. And one of the things that Gerald and I are doing, we talked about the conscious capitalism and creating an incubator for entrepreneurs. We're actually doing that with the kids as well. My oldest daughter, that's been with us in the business for 7 years, has earned her broker's license. So she's accepted the role of being our real estate broker, so that if something happened to me, the real estate could continue. The other daughter finished her certified senior advisory certification program, and she's gearing up to come into the legacy business. But right now she's a school teacher and her husband is a police officer, and there's insurance and there's a retirement. And so their vision, our goal, Gerald and I's goal, is to incubate them to success of what they want as success, and really help them achieve the visions without just giving it to them. Because self-esteem is earned. You can't give someone self-esteem.
No, it's about the purpose. Mm-hmm. That's one reason I feel, by sharing a vision of each thing that you want to, is you're sharing your expectations and what's important to you. And by sharing it, you can accomplish it, as you have done here by sharing with your kids. Not only have you gotten it done, it's just gone beyond. I mean, if you hadn't shared, do you think you would be thinking about conscious capitalism at this time?
I can't say. Right. But I will tell you one of the things that we're even taking it to the third generation, right? So my grandson, for his birthday, wanted to help someone for his birthday. And so I sat down and talked to him about leverage, because we were in the car one day, and if somebody judges me by what I'm going to say, then they feel free to. But we were on the side of the road and there was somebody wanting money. And he said, they call me Elmo. He couldn't say Oma, the German name. So I'm Elmo, and I love being Elmo. He said, Elmo, can we give them money? And I said, no, Christian. And so we sat down, we had a conversation about how to leverage giving. And so instead of giving somebody on the side of the street $10, he did a fundraiser and he raised $300, and he purchased a meal for the Samaritan Inn here in McKinney that fed 85 people.
Wow.
And then they also bought them supplies that they needed at the Samaritan Inn. So I sat down and I did math with him. And I said, the $10 that you gave would have fed one. And we actually talked about the money that he raised and how it could help so many more people, because he was utilizing a nonprofit that had the ability to help more people and had a mission. And so to be able to talk to children, he was seven.
Wow.
7 years old. And so when you know your values and you know your vision as a family, you can actually start passing that on to very young children in very tactical, practical ways, and allow them, it's a culture. The vision becomes a culture. And so giving is very important to us, but we want to give in a way that leverages and really helps people.
That's fantastic. We had this conversation, I think, when Susan Axelrod was on, we were talking about the giving part, and this brilliant way to teach the young people. I mean, not just the young people, us too, so you could be talking about this all day long. Let us tell the audience now where we can find out a little bit more about you, how people can get involved, your books. Give us the spiel.
All right. Well, all of my books are available at Amazon.com. They're in Kindle version or print, so that's super easy. It's just Cindy Arledge, and just put in Cindy Arledge and all the books are there available. And I think I even have them where they're free. If you're in the lending library, you can read all my books for free. Because my mission and passion is to see what I do become the ordinary, not the extraordinary. and that you don't need $30 or $50 million to access this information. Any family can benefit from this legacy planning that we're doing. So there's that piece of it. And then my goal, I've got the North Texas Family Enterprise Center that is NTFEC, so NorthTexasFamilyEnterpriseCenter.com. And we're creating a group community where business leaders and families can come together and learn together and have this information available as a group program. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Cindy, aren't you offering people to figure out where they are in their legacy a special offer?
Yes, I am. And thank you for asking, Joan. If you just go to legacyriskaudit.com, there's a free audit that you can take. It takes about 3 minutes to figure out. And what it does, what I've figured out, I feel like where I am different from other people is that I take every experience that I've experienced and figure out a solution for it. And so I've created this super easy audit tool. It takes 3 minutes to figure out. And then from there, we can have the conversation about how we can help prepare your family for the future.
This is phenomenal. It's really phenomenal. I love you. I do. I love you and I trust you. I think it's beautiful what you're doing. It feels amazing. Thank you for sharing everything that you shared today.
Thank you.
Yes, and I am so happy, and thank you for joining us and sharing your story and how you can go from a family of conversation of money and focus on money and bring out really the vision. And when you do, the difference and the growth and the experiences you have, as you mentioned, even down to your grandson now, on the conversation of what the real vision is and making and using the money as the tool to support who you are, not as the driver with that.
Yeah, and I think that we are called to use our money to make the world a better place. And when you have the vision and you make that a part of the vision, it becomes such a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. That it expands to, you know, who you're spending time with, and it just can grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And, you know, to use, it's okay. You know, it's interesting in our culture, it's not okay to be rich right now. Mm-hmm. It's not. And so I think these tools, in my hope, is that we can make it okay for people to accumulate wealth, knowing that they can use that wealth to make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Because it is, you have to have the funding, the support, because that's how you can really help people when you have the financial support to be able to give out to help people, right?
Right. Yeah, and it is. And if you talk vision and not money, people listen, because then you're not about the money. So many people just look at people as dollar signs and can do, but that's not who the person is. And that's not what's important. And I'm going to say, if you want to join a conversation group on how you can start changing these conversations, go to riverfamilyadvisors.com and change your conversation and sign up for a conversation group for this.
Because this is what you do, because that's how you help people, right, Joan?
Yes.
Because you're bringing this to us every month, where we get to talk about how to change the conversation. And this is something that you do with your online community, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So
online and it's a quarterly call, so that you can start. If you're not ready to dive in, you right away, you need to figure out maybe how to start having these conversations with your partner or other family members if you're single, on what that means. You have to start on the interior. And if you're ready to dive in, take Cindy's legacy audit. I mean, you should take that anyway to see where you are and decide where you need to go. Working together as a team and a family and a business community is always the best way to go. And having these vision conversations.
I'm so curious how the two of you met.
Joan, you want to tell that story?
Well, I would say Cindy saw someone I know very well present at a conference who has family businesses, and went up to him and was talking. And he's like, oh my goodness, you sound like Joan Sharp. You all need to meet.
Wow. Is that how you met?
Through, yes. Like,
introduction through someone else?
Yes. Because we are both so passionate about the conversation and changing it and living your legacy, and by communicating it with your family and individuals that you actually grow through it.
So Joan and I have never met each other in person.
Right, Zoom only.
We've had coffee at least once a month together.
Right.
And we've been so fascinated about how quickly the outside world has changed in the time that we've met each other.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the pandemic when we met.
I was going to say that was going to be my next question. So the beginning, so that was probably what, in March?
Yeah.
I think it may have started, Joan, I think we may have met January or February.
Yeah, January, February, yeah, somewhere around there, yes, yeah.
Yeah, it really has changed a lot, because even our conversations, Joan, from the time that you've been here at Transformation Talk Radio Network, this is also, we've changed a lot, how everything has changed, right?
Right.
So amazing, yeah.
And everyone wants to talk now, right? They've been with their families, and it's either coming, they are talking. So let's make this productive and continue it moving forward.
So the call to action for everyone is, where's the free gift that everyone is getting from you, Cindy? Free gift.
LegacyRiskAudit.com.
Okay. And Joan, you want people to contact you for a discussion around, your community.
Changing the conversation. Yeah. RiverFamilyAdvisors.com.
Yeah, and this is the way that we're changing the world. I mean, and tapping into a team, having a team of people, having support is so important to have that, especially now, because we are laying a new foundation. We're laying a new foundation, and we're laying it on wealth, not poverty. We're laying it on wealth, but we have to choose it. We have to choose it. We have to make the decision. We have to make the commitment. And we have to be willing. So it's an honor and a pleasure always to host this show, to meet wonderful people like both of you, and to inspire our listeners into making their lives better. Thank you, everybody, for listening and for tuning in. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you, Cornelia.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.